The Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Thanks. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus tells a lot of parables. Jesus tells a lot of parables in the Gospel of Luke. We've got the prodigal son. We have the story of the lost coin. We have the story of the lost sheep. We have story after story after story in Luke that Jesus uses to illustrate some sort of point that he wants to make to people. But this is the only parable in the entire Gospel of Luke in which somebody has a name. This is the only parable that Jesus tells in the entire Gospel of Luke where somebody is given a name. And the name that Jesus chooses to use in this moment is the name Lazarus. Now, that name might sound familiar to you because this isn't the only story in the Gospels that use the name Lazarus. In the Gospel of John, we hear a story about Jesus and his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were dear friends of Jesus. And when Lazarus becomes sick, they send word to Jesus that he needs to come and heal him. And Jesus doesn't show up until after Lazarus is dead, until after Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. And when Jesus shows up, he raises Lazarus from the dead. So I don't think it's an accident that in the only parable in which Jesus uses a name to name somebody, the name that he chooses is Lazarus, his best friend, the man who he wept over when he saw the grief of Mary and Martha. Lazarus is the man outside the gate. The rich man does not have a name in this parable. He's just described as dressed in purple and fine linen and feasting sumptuously, so that you know that this man had some money to spare. The rich man, as we know him, or in my text study, folks started calling him the purple man, and then I started calling him the purple people eater. But regardless of what you call him, this unidentified rich man dies, as does Lazarus. Now, pastors, preachers, theologians, biblical scholars sometimes have used this as a prescriptive parable to say, if you do good things in this life, then you will go to heaven, and if you do bad things, then you go to hell. But for Jesus, this was much more of a construct to make a different kind of point. The point of this parable wasn't to describe exactly what happens after we die. The point of this parable was to note the difference between the rich man and Lazarus. When both men die, when both men receive the exact same fate, the rich man is tormented. And he begs Father Abraham to send Lazarus and give him a drop of water to cool his tongue. But here is the thing. The rich man in this life did not see Lazarus at his gate. He walked past him probably every day, in and out of his house, in and out of that gate, and he never saw Lazarus enough to acknowledge him, to acknowledge his humanity, to acknowledge that he had needs, to acknowledge that he needed to be cared for. And in the afterlife that Jesus points us to in this parable, the rich man still doesn't see Lazarus. He still sees Lazarus as a servant, as a slave, as someone who is there to serve him and his needs. He is the one being tormented. He is the one in agony. And so Lazarus should be commanded to go and give him a drop of water. Even being tormented in Hades, the rich man still doesn't get it. He still is unable to see the person, the humanity, the life of Lazarus. At my previous church in Ohio, the church itself had the church building, and then the parking lot was next to it, and then immediately next to that was a set of apartments. And these apartments were some of the cheapest in town. And so a number of low-income people lived in these apartments. And we would frequently get people walking across our parking lot and coming into the building and asking for assistance. And one day I was outside because I had locked myself out of the building, which was a regular occurrence for me. But I luckily had my cell phone with me, so I called the church secretary and I was waiting on her to come and let me in. So I was just sitting outside the door waiting to be let back into the church. And as I was sitting there, I saw a man come out of the apartments and head down the little embankment and walk across the parking lot. And when he reached me, he started explaining to me that he was in town on seasonal work, that he was going to be there for a couple of months, and that he was living in these apartments while he was there. Now, this man had a pretty thick accent, and I was having trouble understanding some of the things that he was saying. And so he kept telling me that he had come over to talk to me for a specific purpose. And my interpretation of what that purpose was is that he needed help or assistance. Because I assumed, based on what everybody from those apartments did, is that they walked across and asked for money. And so I kept trying to understand what he was saying to me about what he was doing there and why he was talking to me. And he got increasingly frustrated with me and finally spoke very slowly because I'm sure that he was annoyed that I was just not getting it. And he said, "No, I am away from my church and I need somewhere to give my tithe. I have a check here for you. I am trying to give you money." And all of a sudden, it clicked for me. I couldn't understand what he was saying because I had already decided in my head who he was and what he was going to be about. I had already made those assumptions before we had ever spoken one word to each other. I thought I had this man completely figured out. And what I failed to do in that moment was to recognize the humanity of the person sitting at my gate. I failed to see him as a full human being and instead saw him as someone that was going to ask me for money. And the thing is that those people who did show up at our doors asking for money were also full human beings in all of their humanity, in all of the complexity of their stories, in all of their emotions and everything, and their families and everything that they brought to that moment of encounter. And I had become so callous, so unwilling to see the humanity of people in front of me, that I could not recognize the gift that this man was trying to give. There are so many ways in our world, in our lives, in the structures that we have built up, that we build those walls and those gates between us and them, that we start to make designations of who is inside that gate and who is outside of that gate, that we start to only see the humanity in the people who are on a certain side of that gated and walled community, and we forget to recognize the humanity in the people who are sitting outside the gate. I was reminded that day, locked out of Abiding Savior, which, by the way, he then offered to try to help me to get back in the building because he was so stressed that I was just sitting out there by myself. Just another way that this man had far more humanity in that moment than I did. But there was a moment sitting outside of that door that I realized once again that I had walked by Lazarus a million times and failed to see him. I don't think it's an accident that this is the only named person in any parable in the Gospel of Luke. And I don't think it's an accident that Jesus has chosen the name Lazarus, his very best friend, the person that he was closest to, the person whose house he would go and dine when he just needed a break from all of the crowds and all of the craziness. Lazarus was the person who was there. And so when Jesus wants for his listeners, for his followers, to identify the humanity in the person sitting outside the gate, he chooses the name of his best friend to help people to imagine what it would be like if it was your best friend, if it was the person that you loved the most sitting outside the gate, being ignored by people day after day after day. How you wouldn't fight for them and fight to honor their humanity in that moment. Jesus chooses to name the poor man sitting outside the gate Lazarus so that his listeners could have one more reminder of Lazarus's humanity. We are being called as listeners of this parable, as hearers of God's word, as followers of Jesus, to see the humanity in everyone that we encounter, to recognize those people who are sitting outside of our gate, to recognize the human story that each one of them carry inside of them. So this week, I invite you to open your eyes and your hearts, to live the life that is truly life, and to see the Lazarus at your gate. Thanks be to God.